general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, is Ken Holland. Ken, why are you taking our call? You're too nice. You're too busy to do this.
I guess I'm a nice guy.
You're a great guy. and you have an affinity for Western Canada and the Calgary area, so we recognize that.
My daughter lives there, so I lived in Medicine Hat for 10 years, so Western Canada is my second home.
Oh, does your daughter, does she live in Calgary?
Yeah, she's married, lives in Calgary, yeah, so I got lots of connections to Calgary.
So much to talk about. A lot of times, general managers kind of play coy going into free agency. It seems like you're less worried about that. You're kind of on record saying, we're going to try and be active. We're going to go hunting for big game. Is that accurate? Perfect world, you're hauling in some free agents on Friday?
Well, we're gonna talk. We're going to try. I think with us trading Pavel Datsyuk, or Pavel Datsyuk, in effect, leaving the National Hockey League and going to play in Russia, and us trading his cap space to Arizona over the weekend. And when you look at our cap right now, we're in the neighborhood of, 18 to 20 million below the cap. We certainly got to re-sign to Kaiser. We got to re-sign Marchenko. We got to re-sign
Mrazek.
You know, hard to play coy when you're the Detroit Red Wings, and we got in the neighborhood of $10 million cap money to spend. But we're going to go looking, and if we can find a player that we think makes us better, and obviously there's some out there, then we're going to try to do something. But I also understand that there's other teams that are out there trying to do the same thing that we are. So free agency is wide open to 30 teams. There was a time when, 10, 15 years ago, when there was about eight of us: Detroit, Dallas, Colorado, Philadelphia, the Rangers, or Toronto. For the most part, if you run out of, unless you're out of cap space, then most teams are probably those teams that have cap space are exploring the marketplace. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. I guess a couple of things. The Datsyuk trade that took place on Friday night, the framework of that deal, was that kind of your idea? Was that more John Shaika, the Arizona Coyotes, coming up with that? I guess just how that came down time-wise on Friday night.
Well, Arizona is one of the teams that I've been talking to for about 10 days. Joe Vitale was a player that I brought up. We had talked about a bunch of different things. Early in the first round, Johnny called me and asked me, they had the 20th pick, what was the price to go back from pick for us to go from 16 to 20 to flip? And I said, depending if a player was there for us, it had to be a second round draft pick. We've done it a few times in the past. They had 2 seconds, a 37 and a 53. I told them I wanted 37. We're at the pick, we're 16th pick in the draft. And I think the conversation about pick 11 or 12, Johnny called me, and there was a player, obviously it turned out to be Chychrun. He said there was a player that was falling down that they really would like to, acquire. And, I didn't take 37. I took pick 53. And, as you wake up, the next morning, they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. We took Joe Vitale, who makes $1.2 million, and he's basically out for this year. I talked to Joe Vitale. He's got concussion that's just not improving. So certainly we took some money off them. They got moved up 4 spots to get Chychrun. And they probably feel that they protected the 37th pick in the draft, because I told them that's what I wanted to move back from 16 to 20. And from our perspective, we were the Datsyuk money for them, they're not going to be a cap team, so that Datsyuk money doesn't have any effect on how they do their business. The Datsyuk space affects how we do our business. We went 4 picks back in the draft. We took up a player. We took a player that makes $1.3 million actually in cash for this year, and we got an extra second round draft pick. And I think if you talk to Arizona today, they would tell you they're thrilled to get moved the money. They're thrilled to get moved up to Chychrun, and we're thrilled to move Datsyuk, and thrilled to get an extra second round pick. And understood that part of the price of doing business from our perspective was to take Joe Vitale's contract and to go back 4 picks in the draft.
Complicated stuff, and it needs to happen in a short amount of time, because the draft doesn't stop because you maybe have a deal on the go. I want to ask you about Pavel Datsyuk. I know that hard feelings isn't the right terminology, and you're not going to be hurt by it. How would you describe your emotions? Obviously, you're a better team with Pavel Datsyuk in the lineup, but it put you in a really tough spot. How did it, I guess, the emotions that you were faced with knowing that this was going to happen?
For the most part, I try to take emotion out of the game, out of my game. You know, I think you can't be emotional. I'm not a fan. You know, I can't be emotionally high on a win and emotionally low on a loss. For the most part, when you run a team, I think you've got to take as much emotion out. Now, on the same time, we are people. And I would say to you that you know, when Pav signed the contract, or year one of a three-year deal, Pav came to me in September, and he told me that was the last year he wanted to play in Detroit. He wanted to give me a year's notice to prepare. Well, as that year unfolded, I had to explain to him and his agents that, you know, there was bigger ramifications than him walking away because of the age that he signed the contract at. And then last summer, you know, Pav still wanted to go home, and I presented him with, you know, with, you know, play the 15-16 season, and if you aren't happy here and your heart just yearns to be in Russia and you want your career to be over, we'll deal with the cap space. I can deal with you on a 1 year. It's hard for me to deal with you on 2 years at $7.5 million. And having Pav in our organization for one more year gave I walked him through it, gave us the opportunity to develop Larkin for one more year, Mantha for one more year, Bertuzzi to turn pro. You know, we just had more people that needed one more year. And ultimately, Pav came back and said, you know what, I'll honor the... Because I told him last year, obviously, we were going to exercise all our rights within the CBA, within the KHL, NHL relationship, whatever that might be. We were going to try to exercise all our rights. And if he honored one more year... we would, and he wanted to go home. We'll deal with it. And certainly that's what Pav came back and he did honored his part, and we're honoring our part. Pav gave us 14 incredible years. I think he was one of the best players in the world. You know, at a time there, I think he's one of the best two-way players of his era. He helped us he was a big part of us winning the cup. You know, certainly in 08, him and Zetterberg and Lidstrom, and those were the people that really carried the team. In 02, he helped us win the cup. He was on the line with Boyd Devereaux and Brett Hull. He helped us win two cups. He helped us win, I'm not even sure, I think a couple of President's Trophies. He kept us to be a good, we made the playoffs every year while he was here. For me to have any negative emotion whatsoever, I would be disappointed in myself. He was no maintenance. He was not political. He showed up every day and gave us everything he got. He was a role model for the young players in the organization. He, after practice, he was putting in an hour, hour and a half. He was in the gym, maybe even too much. So I know he feels terrible that we had to be put into this position. That's why he obviously came back for one more year. But he wants to go back home in Russia and play in front of his homeland. I got to respect that after everything that he's given and done for the Detroit Red Wings. So I have no ill will whatsoever towards Pavel Datsyuk. He was a special, special player for this organization for 14 years.
He is Kenny Holland, general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, here on Boomer in the Morning with Ryan Pinder.
Ken, it looked crazy from a Calgary perspective, the draft on Friday night with all the action surrounding the third pick, with the curiosity of what would happen in the top 10. Now, I know you guys pick much later, but did you get the sense that was one of the busier draft floors in terms of trade talk that you've been around?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think it was busy due to the fact that, you know, I think it was really deep in the top, you know, 8 or 10 picks. I mean, I think that... you know, lots of times, you know, we judge a draft, I think, on two things. One, how good is the best player and the best couple of players? How long does it go? And then how deep does the industry think that maybe late first and second round is? This draft was very deep because there's lots of players in the first round and the top half of the first round that the industry thinks are going to be either stars or real impact players and maybe superstars in some cases. So that all added up to the intrigue, and obviously, you know, lots of people felt that the two Finns were going to go 2-3, and Columbus, you know, went in a different direction, and it got created even more excitement around the draft. So, you know, we're not up there. We weren't in the act. I kind of from afar watched it. You know, we were 16. We weren't going to get. I made a couple of calls a week in advance, trying to get the gauge to get up in the top 10, and nobody had any interest to go from the top 10 back to where we were at 16. So you're just, I'm watching from afar, but certainly I think there's going to be lots of players in that draft that are going to have major, major impacts on their team for a lot of years when once they hit the NHL.
From a GM's perspective, do you enjoy the courting period? It always seemed like July 1st was such chaos before. Now you've got some time to show people around and kick tires. How different is it?
I think it's great. I think it's great for the players. I mean, we used to go into July 1st and we'd all make decisions in 2-3 hours about what we wanted to do with our teams and what the players wanted to do. Now, it obviously started on, Saturday that it started, I talked to a number of managers. I saw other managers going and talking to agents, really probably just teeing up phone calls for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or teeing up, making contact. But I know from our perspective, we've been hunkered down in, Ryan Martin, Chris Draper, Jeff Blashill, myself, you know, from early, morning till evening, making calls, looking at the board and trying to get a sense for, I think today and tomorrow get a sense for what the players are thinking and which players we've contacted have that the agents get that have legitimate interest in the Detroit Red Wings, and then try to formulate a game plan. So I think it's going into July the first Friday. So I think it's fabulous. I think it gives us both sides more time to make a decision that's going to impact the player's life and obviously the club's life. Gives us more time to plan and decide which direction we want to go.
Now, I know that it'll cost you $50,000 still, and I don't need you to stroke a check for $50,000, so I know you can't talk about other names, but it's no surprise people are talking about you in the running for a Steven Stamkos. Now, we don't need to necessarily go to that end, but if you are after, let's say, a big fish or one of the big top-level guys, how different is your plan B from that being your plan A? Because it has to be, it's completely different, and you have to shift gears immediately and quickly. How ready are you for plan B and C? Do you feel confident that it's just a phone call and then you can go in that direction? Or how quickly does that trickle down affect what you do on Friday?
Well, I think, I think that when you're in this business on our side, that as you go through the process, and you've talked about this, you get a sense if you're a real player for something. I don't care whether it's a trade, on July, on the trade deadline, if I'm dealing with a number of teams on trading Pavel Datsyuk, you get the sense as you go along, whether you're in the mix or not in the mix, or how do I, the phone calls, if you try to engage somebody and then you don't hear from them and you constantly try to engage somebody and they don't really engage with you, pretty soon you understand that, yeah, that group of that team or that you're presenting a trade offer to, or that player that you might be presenting an opportunity to, have other teams or other ideas that are more important to them, and you start to head in another direction. So I think that's what this week does. It allows us to talk to players, to talk to their agents, to sell on what we're trying to do, and I think it's also about relationships. I mean, some cases the agent will say, you're a team the player's really interested in, but there's a small group. Well, it doesn't mean you can be a bridesmaid. So I think you got to have a whole lot of different plans, depending on your cap space. Again, certainly we got lots of cap space, but I don't want to just spend it for the sake of spending it and then find out that in November we spent it all and it didn't work out like we had planned. And now what do you do? So sometimes better off not to do anything than to do something that you don't think is right for your team.
You certainly have an intriguing team, Ken. I'll tell you, the wings and being in the spot where you've been in, making the playoffs every year for two decades and being a contender for cups not that long ago and even still, to now have a 19-year-old Dylan Larkin, Yurko's 23, Mantha's 21, Pulkkinen 24, Nyquist is still just 26. You have an incredible young group. How much does that affect? Not that you ever want to accept losing, but do you look at it and say, well, maybe we need to, if we can't get that big, you know, the big top free agent on Friday, we have a great young base. The Kaiser's 26, all of these. Do you look and say, it may not be in 2016-17 or 17-18, but in a couple short years, we have a chance to be one of the top teams in the National Hockey League.
No, I think you've hit it right on. We think we've got, you just talked, we got a 23-year-old goalie, Mrazek, and DeKaiser's 25, Tatar's 25, 26 with Nyquist, and Larkin's 19, and Riley Sheehan's 24. So, these are people that we think are going to get better and have a bigger role and a bigger impact on our team. So that's why I just said to you here, as I'm going into this on Friday, for me to go and jump in and do 5 and 6 and 7 year contracts with players that I think we got players in the organization in 2 years can go buy those people. It's great for the first 2 years, but then I might have a bigger issue down the road. So, that's what's part of our planning process as we're going into July 1st, is talking about where do we think Mantha is going to be. Tyler Bertuzzi is a player that we think is going to play on our team at some point in time this year or next year. We really like him a lot as a player. So we've got some people here that we think are Svechnikov, our first round pick. He's turning pro. So, certainly we've got some young people here that we think in a couple of years are going to be on our roster. So that has to be part of our thinking as we go into July the 1st.
I think a lot of people in Calgary are very fond of your young netminder, Peter Mrazek. We got to see him at the World Juniors, and I think he's very clear he's stolen the reins from Jimmy Howard, at least last year, for the bulk of the season. How do you approach your veteran backup now who's making starter money? Is that something you have to address, or are you comfy with it as it stands?
Oh, I met with Jimmy last week. Obviously, I want to get Peter Mrazek signed to a contract. I've talked to his agent. I'm confident at some point in time we'll find a solution. I think we're going into this year now that, last year Jeff Blashill went 1-1A. They basically rotated till Christmas, and then Jimmy, the wheels came off a little bit in back-to-back starts, and then he started to go with Peter Mrazek for 6 weeks, and then the wheels came off of Peter in the middle of February, and then, Jimmy grabbed the reins and got us into the playoffs. I think he was 7-3 his last 10 starts. Obviously, last year we didn't have a lot of money in goal with Mrazek making $720,000 or whatever he was making. We had $6 million between the two. This summer, there's going to be more money in net. Peter's 23. Can he play 60 games? I mean, he's never done it in his career. So certainly, Jimmy if he's the backup, he makes too much. But if you don't have good goaltending, it doesn't matter how the whole dynamics of your cap work. If your goaltending isn't deep enough and good enough, you're not making the playoffs. So certainly with Jimmy Howard, I'd rather have too much money in net and know that we've got really good goaltending. And I believe between the two of them, we've got really good goaltending. We're probably going to have more money in net than I'd like to that when we get signed. But for another year, I don't think it's an issue. Again, I think it's a strength. I'd rather have too much money in net and feel good about our goaltending and feel that we got two guys that Jimmy Howard obviously can play 30 out of 40 games if we want him to, and we need to see how many games Peter Mrazek can play. I think he played 52 this year, but the wheels came off a little about game, early in his 40s, and the year before he played 40. So I'd rather have a fallback position and have too much money in that position than to move and then to wake up in the middle of season and to realize that, we're putting too much stress and strain on a 23-year-old goaltender and asking too much of him, and we don't have a fallback position. I don't want to be in that position. I'd rather have too much money in that and feel good about our goaltending, and that's where I am today.
On a lighter note, it's a big game tonight for the Sluggers, a softball team in Calgary. Your daughter is a member of the club. I am the center fielder. Could you wish us luck tonight in the playoffs?
Well, good luck. Is it single elimination or is it a best of three or something?
We actually do a little round robin before they get to the finals, but it's okay, the big games start tonight. Thank you.
Oh, well, good luck. Okay, yeah.
Well,
I'm gonna call my daughter for the results later tonight.
Good stuff.
Ken, really appreciate your time, and obviously this close to free agency even more. So best of luck on July 1, and we look forward to seeing you next fall.
Thank you.
Ken Holland, general manager of the Detroit Red
Detroit Red Wings. It just felt ridiculous, but you know, the listeners needed it.
Well,
so there you go. The final vote tally, 2-1 in favor of
people.
You
really,
gotta ask, because people just joining us have no idea what we're talking about.
No, they don't. Yeah. You play softball with Ken's daughter, and you were very excited to ask him the question about the softball team.
I was tongue in cheek asking you if I should ask him about it, which clearly would not have come up if we didn't do a Twitter poll.
So then we went to the Twitter poll and said, well, definitely should Pinder ask Ken Holland a question.
NHL GM.
Yeah, a question
about softball team.
2 days from free agency. Should he ask him about his rec softball team? And I, you know what? I think the answer was he wanted to know about single elimination. He sounded quite engaged.
I told you, he's in the loop. And it's round robin, so he will get the results tonight. I feel like this is a part of the weekly check-in.